But last week, we started a new message series that we're calling The Voice. But what we're talking about is really the voice and hearing God's voice in a noisy world. But last week, we talked all about how God is talking. He's actually a very talky God, and He has a lot to say, and He has much He wants to say to each of us. And, you know, and so last week was all about, do you really believe that? And we talked about how it's true that God's plan all along was to have an ongoing conversation with each of us throughout our lives. And it wasn't something that was just for the Bible heroes of old, but for us, each of us, today, right now. And so how do we tune in and listen to God? Well, we had some fun last week, and I promised you we'd play again this week, kind of listening and learning and recognizing some famous voices out there. But I got grilled a little bit, again, by the ladies. I don't know. I guess I bring it on. But because I only had guys' voices up there, and I guess the website I was using had predominantly male. Easy. But I went a little deeper this week, and so, and I so these are all, I'll give you that one hint, all female voice. I doubled up. I got way more even than last week. So, aim to please. Okay, but gotta get set here, so I make sure our technology is working. Okay, ready to listen in? This is, raise your hand, blurt out your answer. It's all just kind of a free-for-all. Here. And, okay, here we go.
Back in September, and I asked you, lots of questions, and what you conveyed to me, and I think to millions of other people, was that was all true.
There you go. The women's voices aren't that easy, are they? And so you guys have to think about that. Last week, you were just on top of James Earl Jones and Samuel Jackson and all those guys' voices and Christopher Wyoming. These aren't so easy, are they? Good job, though. Good job. There you go. So, Oprah. Okay. Ready for the next one. So.
Smoking on this night, I've invested in a portrait of honesty.
Let's do this one.
Well,
who's
going wrong with the run-in?
Mae West.
So be mine. Come and help me.
Oh, that gave it away. Sorry. All right. But you guys have got it. You guys have got it. Okay.
I make this admission the right one. In summer, I see myself running onto it.
Nick Ryan.
Close.
Why not a writer?
Close.
I don't show the picture yet.
I make this admission the right one. In summer, I see myself running onto it.
Julie Kavner. Julie Kavner.
Julie what?
Kavner.
Kavner?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. I think I got one more.
Oh my gosh!
Sure,
It is not an easy thing to be able to recognize different voices. And that's what we're talking about, is recognizing God's voice. And today we want to talk about, you know what, I just couldn't find one for her, although that's one of my favorite voices right there. And so,
exactly.
But that's what we want to talk about, because we see God talking and wanting to talk as much as possible, as much as we're willing to listen. And this was one of Jesus' strongest words in his last gathering with his closest disciples. But these words are meant for all of his disciples. But when he said, I have much more to say to you. More? I mean, the cross was right around the corner. And so when was he going to get a chance to say to this? But I have much, say anything to them. I have much more to say to you, more that you can bear. But here's the plan. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And that's this incredible blessing that we all have, is God's Holy Spirit is a gift, a personal gift to each of us to be able to hear. As long as we're willing to take the time to recognize and listen, his voice of guidance and wisdom and protection and correction and conviction in our lives. But hearing a voice and getting used to it and recognize it takes some time, it takes some effort, it takes some skill. A few weeks ago, I know I shared with you the pain that I go through every week, this beautiful pain I go through with these lovely girls, but they are so hard for me to get their attention and keep them engaged and keep them moving along. The firecrackers, we won again yesterday. They're coming along, but something it occurred to me, because I'll be on the sideline, kind of shouting, you know, instructions throughout a game. And no matter what I say, I mean, I could be yelling at the top of my lungs, and I'm not getting any response. Nobody's, you know, I'm yelling at Gia to take a goal kick, and Gia is walking around looking for some daisies to pick, you know. But Gia's mom says, in a very relaxed, like almost just a conversational tone, Gia, coach wants you to take a goal kick. Oh, and then she, like, you know, all of a sudden she heard that. How did you? I mean, you're sitting behind me. But she's the only kid I can usually get, you know, her attention is my own kid, you know. And so me and Eva have this little plan. It's like, okay, Eva, when they're not listening to me, I tell her what to do. Okay, so you tell, you know, you tell Adela to take the corner kick or to take the throw in or whoever, because she's the only one, hopefully, you know, that can hear my voice. But but each week I've noticed, and I was really paying attention to it yesterday in the game, is how well are they going to pick up on my voice this week, because I knew I was going to talk about it today. It was so nice to be able to, maybe by the fourth time instead of the seventh, to get some recognition, you know, they're starting to become more familiar with my tone, my intonations, my emphases, my style of communication. But it's taken some time to get there. And hopefully we don't have another dreaded, we do these things in the soccer league called Silent Saturdays. And so, which is great for the kids, but where the coaches and the parents aren't allowed to say anything. And so, all we're allowed to do to keep things positive and cheering is to clap. And the reason they do that is because they want to see if the kids can apply what they've been hearing on their own without being totally reliant on the vocal guidance of the coaches and the parents and all that. And so it's fun to watch. It makes them kind of think for themselves, boy, there's another spiritual metaphor in there. Sometimes when I'm not hearing God, is it because I already should know what He wants me to do and I just need to apply it? It might be a silent Saturday. But anyway, we'll save that for later on in the series. And so but it's been great to see how, you know, after practices, after games, how the girls are tuning in, not just to my voice, but to each other's voices and hearing each other better. But it takes practice to recognize and become familiar with those important voices in our lives. And I want to share a story, which is one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament, about one of the Old Testament prophets, one of the most famous, one of the most powerful, one of the most astounding, interesting prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah. And you can read about him in the book of 1 Kings. And I need to set this story up a little bit, because Elijah, everybody's heard, if you haven't heard of Elijah, you've heard of Jezebel. You've heard of Queen Jezebel, or at least that name. And Jezebel's on the list of names that nobody ever, people just stop naming their kids that name because it's just so associated. You know, nobody names their kids Judas anymore. You know, that name kind of got ruined. You know, Benedict is, you know, kind of fell off, you know, after the Revolutionary War. You know, you see, you know, lots of names that just got, you know, that just don't make the list because they're just immediately associated with, you know, with negative connotations. Well, the reason is, for Jezebel, she was just a terror. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel were just arch enemies. They were in power in Israel, and this is one of the dark periods of the history of Israel where they're just they've been scouring the land with their military to put to death each and every of God's prophets, to shut up God's voice so they could do their own thing, because these pesky prophets, you know, were bringing God's voice and will into their lives, and they didn't want to have anything of that. And so the last one standing is Elijah. And he's been on the run. And he's been on the run through the wilderness. And he feels like it's just a dead end. And his number is up, because he's a marked man. When God gets a hold of him here in the wilderness. And the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In other words, why are you on the run? You don't need to run. You have me by your side. What are you doing out here? And Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And God replied, "Well, go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. And Elijah, you know, he's holed up in this little cave in the wilderness. You know, he's kind of staring out. He's afraid to even go outside this cave. You know, but God's saying, "It's okay. you know, come and I'll be there with you. But Elijah, he's got a pretty good history with God, good enough to know that, okay, this windstorm wasn't him. And he's just staying put back, cozy and safe in the back of that cave. Well, after the wind, there was an earthquake. And whereas we're reading the story and many of generations that have read the story, you know, we're quick to think, okay, well, if he wasn't in the windstorm, he must be in the earthquake. Because, you know, we have stories of God's voice and God's presence causing, you know, trembling, you know, all around. Well, surely God must be in this earthquake. But he wasn't. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. You know, we have stories that describe God's presence being engulfed in flames, you know, and so surely he must be in the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. However, after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Some translations say a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, well, he recognized that. He recognized that voice. That's the presence of God. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Okay, it's safe. It's okay now. That's who I've been waiting for. He recognized that voice. Whereas most would easily be fooled by the big show, by this mighty windstorm, or this, you know, this powerful earthquake, or this intimidating fire. Elijah was patient. Because of his history with God, he had been through quite a bit to wait until he recognized. Just like last week we looked at that passage where Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice and they recognize my voice and they will never follow a stranger. But my sheep know their shepherd's voice. So Elijah was able to get to a place where he knew and could rely on and not be fooled by the counterfeits out there. But it was the simple, gentle whisper that when he heard that, he recognized that voice. And he went out to the mouth of the cave. And from there, God leads him back to safety and back into this mission that he had called him from the beginning to complete and to throw down the evil that had taken over the nation of Israel. And so, but how do you get there? That's the question. How do we best, you know, recognize God's voice? And I don't know if there's any simple formula. Boy, Keith, what was the line in the hymn? What's that first you sang it? It made me think. Tune our hearts. How does that go? Tune. Yeah. So that and it is, you know, it's about allowing God to tune our hearts, just like on those old radio dials, you know. And sometimes, you know, we don't have those anymore, but, you know, it's hard to just get it tuned in just right, you know, to eliminate the dissonance and the, you know, and the feedback and the fuzz distorting the signal. How can we best tune in to God's voice? Because God has promised us. He's been very blatant and open about it, that he's not silent. It's not a life of silent Saturdays, thank goodness. But he is vocal and he is talking. It's on us to learn how to tune in. And so let's talk about a few ways that it's helpful. No one way I think is the best. I think we've got to try them all and have a balance and a combination in our lives. But the first one is learning to hear his written whispers and his written shouts. And we have the luxury of being able to have it in writing. because God has, you know, laid out this incredible this incredible collection of writings that we call the Bible, that we call God's Word, that we can lean into. But this is how the Bible describes itself. And we've talked about this before, about just the amazing power behind how the Bible came to be. And it wasn't this sort of elite group of religious leaders that put this together. The whole Bible was a grassroots effort from the people listening and responding to it. These books of the Bible are there because they work, because they're full of truth, not because they adhered to a certain dogma or doctrine that was being pushed down on people. It was because the people of the faith community pushed up and said, this is what works. This is what's inspired, because this is how it's changing our lives. This is what the church has always lived on. This has been the food of the church. And the writer of Hebrews has this to say: for the word of God is alive and active. It's like no other book. And there's some great writings out there, but there's something. And this is why it's lasted so long and had such an impact for centuries and generations. It's alive and active. There's something about it that's dynamic, that's life-changing. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's very difficult to get through a chapter of the Bible that doesn't raise questions in my everyday life about the choices and decisions and wisdom that I can adhere to, whether it's going to be God's or whether it's going to be my own, or what the world is trying to manipulate and push me into. It's very difficult to find even a paragraph that doesn't challenge me and speak to some part of my life and some part of my journey on that. But it's one of the best ways to start to recognize and become familiar with the most important voice in your life. It's like getting to know, it's like reading somebody's diary. It's like reading their personal letters. This is who they are. This is how they've revealed themselves. I love it, you know, anytime I can get a chance to read an author's something they've written that's not one of their works. So you can really get to hear their tone, who they really are, and see how that has impacted their stories. And they made a book out of all these letters that C.S. Lewis wrote back to kids. They would write to him their questions and thoughts about the Chronicles of Narnia. You know, why did you name the lion Aslan? And that's a great little page right there. And so these are his personal letters. It's a book. You can get it on Amazon for, you know, it's called C.S. Lewis's Letters to Children. But it's such a neat insight into, you know, his tone. And it just gives you an insight to his personality. And I wasn't going to read this letter. I was just going to, well, but now I have to, huh? Okay, so to Lucy Barfield. This is who he names little Lucy after. Narnia story, it says, his little goddaughter. My dear Lucy, I wrote this story for you, but when I began it, I had not realized that girls grow quicker than books. As a result, you're already too old for fairy tales, and by the time it is printed and bound, you will be older still. And so at this point, you kind of think, you know, that he's kind of writing it, you know, saying, well, grown-ups don't read fairy tales, but watch how he comes back around. But someday you will be old enough to start reading fairy tales again. You can then take it down from the upper shelf, dust it, and tell me what you think of it. I shall probably be too deaf to hear and too old to understand a word you say, but I shall still be your affectionate godfather, C.S. Lewis. And I share that with you as an example of, you know, hearing somebody's tone and getting familiar with them through, you know, through their writings and through their, you know, their personal expressions. And that's how I think we should think of the Bible. Not this like, you know, because it is so personal. So much of it are letters from apostles who were simply, you know, responding to people's needs to grow closer to God. And so much, the stuff that got saved, there is so much more written than what we have. And the you know, John, the disciple John, at the end of his book, the Gospel of John, says, look, there's not enough ink. Okay, we don't have enough space. If we tried to write down everything Jesus said and did, there wouldn't be enough books in all the world to hold them. And so what we got was very fine-tuned. The result was what moved people closer to God, what saved them, what inspired them, what changed their lives. And so if you really want to get familiar with the voice of God, all you have to do is dig in to the letters that we have in writing. That's the easiest way. It's right there, and there's plenty of it waiting for us. But there's more. There's a certain strength in numbers. And so I realized earlier that I just totally ripped off the Warriors, you know, and so with that one, but it's true. And the Bible talks about this all the time, that our life journey was not meant to be solo, to go it alone. And this proverb in the Old Testament puts it very straightforward. Fools resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And it's so important that we do surround ourselves with other people that are listening for God's voice. And there's something when we do that, that we start to hear God better and more clearly, because we're now hearing it, you know, filtered through other real people that are really trying to follow God and apply His truth and are listening to Him. And it was so fun. You know, I mentioned the women's Bible study that kicked off again this last week at our house. And you guys are so beautiful. It was, you know, it's just so inspiring when you see people get together, that they're, what they have in common, what's bringing them together, is to grow closer to God and hear His voice and live out His will. But it makes it so much easier, because if I think I'm hearing God, you know, maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm getting something wrong. But if I've got some people that I trust, that I know, that are wanting to see God do good things in my life and wanting to see my life really make a difference in the world, I've got some people that I can say, what do you guys think about this? I have this feeling that God is leading me in this way. I think I heard Him say this. You know, and to be able to bounce that off of other people, and you know, and know that you're on the rails, you know, that you're not off, or maybe you are, you know, when somebody might say something that needs a little, maybe you need to go back and maybe we need to be praying about this together. You know, it just adds a level of security and affirmation when we've got other people in our lives that we can hear how they're hearing God for me. And so, I remember years ago, was in a group of men, and one of the guys felt like he was hearing God tell him to leave his wife. I know. And it's like, well, we need to pray about that. You know, and it really, I was so glad that he brought it up, because after some prayer and some going back to what, you know, God had wrote, and then hearing from people that he trusted in his life, he realized that that voice was coming through a person in his life that did not want the best for him and his family. And that was having quite the impact. But if he didn't have the courage really to open up and share that with some men in his life, who knows where that marriage would be. I can say, you know, that it's in a good place because he sought out really, you know, listening for God's voice in a deeper way than he might have otherwise if he were alone. And so we need those voices in our lives. Now, you know, anytime we touch on topics like that, you know, I need to throw down the, you know, that's not a one size fits all, and that's a case by case. In this case, that is not where God was leading. In many cases, sometimes it is, and so, but we need each other in our lives, and we need to have relationships where we can trust each other and really hear what God is calling. But there's another way that I've personally experienced, and you know, and as I've been kind of thinking about this whole series and really prepping, where have I experienced God's, you know, hearing, becoming familiar with God's voice, and where have I seen that best happen in other people's lives? This principle of having a cause in common, and I'll talk about a little bit more about what I mean by that. Really couldn't find this in a book out there. This is just something I've seen and experienced. And what I mean by cause in common is when we just roll up our sleeves and just say to God, Lord, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do this for you. I hope it benefits other people, but really, it feels like it's going to be pretty thankless, but I'm ready for that, and I'm doing it for you because I believe this is the kind of work you do. And so I want to have this cause in common with you. And God, in the book of Isaiah and all throughout the Bible, describes the kind of work that He's involved in and where His heart is. And this passage in Isaiah 3 says it like this: learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. If you want to know what causes God is involved in, take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Whenever you can step in and help someone out who can't necessarily help themselves. I mean, whether it's here in church, helping in the kids' ministry, or those of you who get here early and get stuff set up, and just all the things that go on around neighborhood church, or you know, outside of our church, you know, pouring into, you know, taking a Saturday away from, you know, the normal routine and helping out at Habitat for less fortunate families to help provide homes there. Or going on a mission trip, and literally caring for the fatherless, the orphanage in Tijuana. Just some great images and examples of pitching in and having a cause in common. But, you know, the mission trip, you know, is a great example of you would hear people hear God more clearly and closely than ever. There's something about when we put ourselves into what God's work is, where it's happening, when we devote ourselves, our hands, our time, even when it just feels really thankless, maybe nobody's noticing or appreciating, that's the best place to be, by the way. Because now you really have something in common with Jesus. And you've probably never been closer to Him before. And so now what you're hearing is most likely His voice, untarnished, the most clear, having the most impact that maybe it ever will, because of your heart's proximity to His, when you are working alongside Him, wherever it is. Here's how you know that you're truly in common with Jesus. You're making a sacrifice. You're possibly, might be going through your mind. Not saying it was going through his mind, although we have that garden scene where he said, "Father, if this cup may pass, I'm all ears." If it's really pushing on you, you're wondering if you should have gotten yourself involved in the first place. You know, because you're not feeling like anybody's really being thankful. There's not a whole lot coming back. Then that's the beginning of unconditional love. You are really being selfless. So anytime you're feeling that frustration, maybe a little doubt, maybe questioning, should I have gotten myself into this? That's such a great indication that that is where God wants you and you are so close to Him. And so if you haven't felt that for a while, how can you step into a place of that? Because that will build your familiarity with God's voice maybe more than anything else out there. And so if it's felt kind of easy, if it's felt kind of nice, if it's felt kind of convenient, maybe you are missing out on much that God has to say to you. So how can we tune in? Lots of ways. Here's three. In writing, in numbers, surrounding ourselves with others. In these common causes that God has in the world. And so, how can you tune in this week? Well, last week, I threw it out there. Let me know if you've got any stories, because we need to hear from each other to be encouraged that God is still talking, because maybe you haven't heard from Him for a while. Maybe you've let the noise of the world invade too much space in your heart and your ears. And so we need to hear those stories. And so I was going to share a few of them. I think I'm just going to share one and kind of spread them out here. But keep sharing them. That's my email. I want to hear your stories on hearing God's voice. But this is one that was shared. And this is someone who has been very restless recently because of not knowing whether they've been through a lot of turmoil in recent months, and really not knowing, you know, what's the next step, and having the opportunity to make a move, but really really praying and needing to hear from God, do I move or do I stay? And this person shared very clearly with me that the words, that God's voice very clearly answered that with a "just stay put." Those words, "just stay put." And it was so fun for me because I've seen this person, you know, I've seen exactly what's been going on in this person's life. And it was so wonderful to see the peace come over this person having heard these words from God, and just knowing, you know, just how wonderful that feeling is, and it's just radiating. And so, so that's this week's voice story. And so, what is God going to say to you? Are you tuned in? He is talking, and He has much to say. It's like He said to His disciples, more than you can bear in one sitting. So that's okay. Let's take them in bite-sized pieces. And so, Heavenly Father, thank You that You speak, and that all we have to do is to learn to tune in, and that every day, every week, You are speaking. The broadcast is on. How can I tune my heart to Yours? How can I hear Your voice? And so, Lord, show us what each of us needs this week. Do we need to get in Your words, Your written word more, and become more familiar with You that way? Are we trying to do so much of this on our own, and we've got We've got no sounding board with others in our lives that are following you, and we've been going solo. Maybe we need to surround ourselves with others to help hear your voice. Lord, maybe we've just been too far away from you because we've let things be too easy. We've been, you know, just a little scared of stepping into the mess and the commitment and the inconvenience and the sacrifice that follows the work of the gospel everywhere the gospel goes. And so, Lord, bring us to that place that is nearer to you than any other place. That place of sacrifice for others. And so, Heavenly Father, speak to us. Speak to your people. Help your sheep recognize their shepherd's voice. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, come when you're ready to the Lord's table as we worship some more together. You're invited to come in your own timing.